This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi. With the colon being so naturally and obviously linked to nutrition, it would make sense that diet has a big role to play in preventing colon cancer and in aiding the healing process. Periyandal Asha, she's a dietitian who's representing the National Cancer Society of Malaysia, is with me and she's going to be explaining the links and give us the lowdown on what we should be eating in order to try and avoid colorectal cancer. Welcome to the show, Asha.
Thank you, Meera.
If you have a question for Asha, do send us a text message. The number is 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio. Asha, just before we go into all that food talk, okay. How common is colorectal cancer in Malaysia?
Okay, in Malaysia, if you see among men, it's the second and also goes for the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the second highest cancer among both genders in Malaysia.
Okay.
Next to lung cancer for the men and next to breast cancer for the women.
For the women.
Yes.
So it's number two amongst the cancers,
yes,
amongst men and women. Colon cancer is described to be preventable.
Yes.
So is all the other cancers, would you say? All the other cancers are also, in a way, preventable diseases. But in the case of colon cancer, why is it preventable?
Okay, let us put it this way. Because recently, the increasing of colon cancer is just happened recently in the past few decades. And it's among all these developed and developing countries, mm-hmm, can be seen. So when the research is done, it shows that this cancer happens because of their lifestyle. It goes back to the lifestyle that the people are practicing.
Okay.
Okay. So when you see in other way that, if you see, basically lifestyle is something that you choose. So obviously you can help in prevent the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And second thing is to prevent. How do you do the screenings, everything? So it's up to the person's or individual choice how to prevent this cancer.
Right. And what's the relationship between colorectal cancer and your diet?
Okay. Basically, coming back to the reason, like I said just now, it's the lifestyle. So the lifestyle you choose, it connects back to diet or whatever that you're eating. So this diet also can contribute to increasing the chances of person getting cancer, and another part can also help in decreasing the chances of you getting colorectal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk on both of this part. It doesn't only helps you to decrease, but also might cause the chances of you getting cancer.
Is there scientific evidence to show that there is a link between proper nutrition and the prevention of colorectal cancer?
Yes, of course there is.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you go back to how these surveys and all these research have done, they always relating back to certain foods or certain lifestyle that you practice can increase of a person getting cancer, can increase the chances. Just for an example, we say, if you're taking a very high consumption of red meat,
mm-hmm,
which is very much related to increasing the chances of the person getting colorectal cancer.
Okay. What is it in the red meat?
Okay. This red meat, if you see when you go to the markets, okay, to get this red meat, the first thing that attracts you will be the color.
Mm-hmm.
The red color that attracts you to get that particular meat.
Yep.
Actually, to get this color, they'll be adding certain chemical compounds to enrich the color. So these are the things that at one day, in a longer period, when you're consuming in very high consumption,
mm-hmm,
it will stay in your body and become a carcinogen agent.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's just red meat. We're not talking about poultry and things like
yet.
That. That's different.
That's because of the red meat.
Sure. We'll come back to that. But some basic principles, Asha, that we should keep in mind when we're trying to eat to prevent colorectal cancer.
Okay. The basic principle will be first I said, the red meat. So try to have a very less intake of red meat.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously you can take, but not in a very high frequent and high consumption. And second will be all the fatty foods. Okay, reduce all your fat foods, fried food, fast food, everything. And always have a high intake of your fruits, vegetables, which, mm-hmm, are very good.
Which everybody really knows. For general health, we, yes, should be doing that. But we don't do that. What happens when this goes into the colon? I mean, does it cause problems there? How does it cause problems? Would you know?
Okay, just give you certain examples. Okay, mm-hmm, just say previously I told you on red meats. Okay, now if you are talking about fat foods, okay, these fat foods, when you're having it in a very frequent, it increases the, obviously you put weight, right? So you become obesity at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a research that says that obesity increases the chance of you getting cancer. Because it plays with the hormones. So when you're obese, your estrogens will be very high and your hormones get imbalanced. So that's how these cancer cells get active. Mm-hmm. So it goes in around.
Right. It's it works in together, really.
Yes.
Fruits and vegetables, as you mentioned earlier, should be, utmost in the top of our priorities when it comes to diet. But what do these bright colors actually indicate? What do they tell us?
Okay, these different colors, if you see, you can see multiple colors of vegetables and fruit. Actually, each of these color, they carries a different phytochemicals. Phytochemicals are actually is plants chemicals which are good for our body. Okay, this different color, when it carries different function of the different, because from we have nearly 1,000 or more phytochemicals. This thing is still under research because there are more than 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so each of it carries a different function. Each phytochemicals has a different function. So by this phytochemical is the one contributing to the different colors of those vegetables.
Okay.
So when you're consuming different colors of vegetables, you're having a different function of the phytochemicals.
Okay. Mm. How do phytochemicals play a part in the colon?
Okay, just for an example, when you're eating like phytochemicals like carotene, it's one of it, which is you can find in tomatoes, all the red colors,
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this actually help in reducing the sizes of the cancer cells, and some also helps in to prevent the growth of the cancer cell. And one more thing is that is this same phytochemicals, because it's high in fiber as it found in fruits and vegetables, they help for you have a good bowel movement.
Okay.
So when you have a good bowel movement, there is no chances of the bowel is tucked, your feces is tucked in the bowel, that it can cause cancer, Because sometimes when it's tucked very long there, the toxic and the bad bacteria turns the things to be harmful in a longer day, which can turn into cancer.
Right, okay. Hence the reason why you really should have regular bowel movement as well.
Yes.
Fresh fish high in omega-3 oils are often recommended. What role does omega-3 play?
Okay, omega-3 actually you can say it's a PUFA oil. It's come from, which is means polyunsaturated fatty acids.
Mm-hmm.
So basically these are the good fats. They always have a bad fat and a good fat. These are the good fat, which helps one thing to reduce your cholesterol level, the bad cholesterol out of your body. It helps to rinse out the bad cholesterol from your body. And another thing, at the same time, when you're taking this before us, you don't have accumulated fat in your body compared when you're taking the saturated fats.
Okay, so pile on the omega-3 oils.
Yes.
Which is a lot better than, the ones that you get from red meat, for an example.
Yes.
Is it better to consume it from diet or from supplements?
It is always better to have it from your diet, because from the supplement, sometimes the requirement might be lesser than from what you're getting from the supplement, because certain things, when it's over the requirement, it might be turned toxic for you, for yourself. So it's better always to get it from supplement, from your diet.
From diet. Okay, yeah. So the way to go is fresh fruits, vegetables, and to buy stuff from the market, cook it yourself and eat it. But people will argue that, sometimes, most of the time, we don't get enough of this nutrition, and that's why we should ideally supplement.
Uh-huh.
So are you saying we shouldn't be over-supplementing then, and we need to know our dosages when we supplement?
Okay, the best way that I would tell that for you to have a complete set of meal, that they always say, the healthy food, healthy lifestyle, See, when you're having your fruits and heavy vegetables during your meal, make it more than if you're having rice. Just say you're having rice, a scoop of rice, make a vegetable at least 2 scoops. So actually this will make you to attain the requirement that you need.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually not as much as people always thought, it should be more than that. It's just that double the vegetables than your rice.
Okay.
And also have your fruits every day. It's good to have 2 times fruits per day and vegetables at each meal you have, and make it more than your carbohydrate sources food.
Okay, and what about meat? How much should the meat be?
Okay,
half of your rice?
Okay, the meat is that, the thing is, the meat is that, what would I say, reduce the consumption of your red meat, but having a white meat is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But always remember to remove all the excess fat, when you can clean the chicken very wise, nicely. So always remove all the excess fat, and just, if it is possible, Make your plate into a 1/4 part where you can have your protein sources, your chicken or whatever. Another quarter for your rice and the half for the vegetables.
Okay.
That's a better, healthy way of using your food.
Sure. So half veggie, just a quarter rice.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's a pretty good gauge, actually. If you have a question for Asha, we're discussing your diet and colorectal cancer, send us a text message. The number is 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio.
Just like a man who doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man. A man who doesn't listen to the breakfast grill does not like money. Be a man. Listen to the breakfast grill. Weekdays, 8:05 a.m.
Brought to you by the CIMB Group. Harnessing the diversity of ASEAN for you.
Capiche?
Somewhere in a doctor's clinic.
Doctor?
Yes?
I have a really embarrassing rash on my elbow.
Really? Let's take a look. Okay. I think I found... Yes. You need to listen to a bit of culture.
Will it help?
No, but it's a really great show on BFM, Saturdays at 5 p.m.
A bit of culture. A cure for nothing.
Bickering frustrates Malaysians. BFM. 89.9.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi. With me is Pirihandal Asha. She's a dietitian from the National Cancer Society of Malaysia. We're discussing colorectal cancer and your diet. Just before we go on, Asha, I mean, there seems to be a text message here from someone who wants to know whether Crohn's disease eventually could lead to colon cancer.
Okay, if it is left untreated for a very long period, it might. It doesn't mean that it directly causes just because you're having Crohn's disease today and tomorrow you're going to get cancer. It's not in that way. It's just in a longer days when you're not treating it properly, you're not going for the proper medication, it might.
Okay. So if you don't treat the Crohn's properly, then it could lead. There is a possibility. Just coming back to diet and colorectal cancer, what about the effects of alcohol?
Okay. Alcohol, as you see, one thing is that alcohol is so much energy compared to your carbohydrate sources food or any other sources food. So one thing is that when you're taking it in a large amount, you put weight and you become obesity, so it goes back to causing cancer. And second thing is, when you're drinking alcohol, you just don't drink it. You have together with your smoking, you have with your food, you know, you have some snacks, everything. So what happens is this, when you're drinking the alcohol at the end of the day, all the toxins that you have eat or comes from your smoking goes through, it carries through the body for this, for your organ system. So there is possible that this thing can cause cancer, and there is also research that says that alcohol does cause cancer around the colorectal cancer and also your mouth cancer because of it carries the all the toxins inside your body.
Okay, that's very interesting. Garlic has been suggested as something that can reduce the risk of developing several types of cancer, especially for those gastrointestinal tracts. Could you explain to me how garlic plays a role?
Okay, actually, when if you go back to garlic, actually, it's related back to phytochemicals. Because there is this particular compound of phytochemical called allium, it is inside the garlic. So, when having garlic, actually, you can it helps to slow the growth of cancer cell, but it doesn't directly to say that that's the only food that can help you to reduce the chances of cancer. It is because the phytochemical compound in it.
Okay. So cooking with garlic is a good thing then?
Obviously, you can have it because it's also one of the good phytochemicals sources, but sticking only to it does not help because it only contributes to one of the good sources, so you always need other vegetables together.
Okay. What about onions? Do onions play any role?
Onion goes together with garlics because it also consists the same allium compound.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you do cook with a lot of onions and garlics, then it might be a good thing.
It might.
How exactly does it, you know, how exactly does it do to, you know, block the information formation of cancer causing substances, and it enhances DNA repair? And this is garlic I'm referring to.
Okay, actually, how does this thing happens? There's no particular evidence that I could tell that it really has. But like I said, that these phytochemical compounds, they're very strong, that they help to reduce these cancer cells, and also all the antioxidants in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this helps in reducing the oxidative damages in our body. So that's how it works. But the how does it related to DNA is not much proven for me to tell about it.
What about garlic? Should we supplement or should we eat it raw? I know a lot of people advocate eating it raw.
Yeah, it's good. You can eat it raw because it's tasty and you can get, you can do a lot of things with it. You know, you do garlic bread, everything. So it's good. You can have it just like that.
But do you know how much garlic we should be consuming?
Particularly garlic is per day is not anything stated, but going back to allium compounds, it goes under the still goes under the vegetables category where you should take at least 3 servings per day.
Three servings
of vegetables per day.
Selenium is another important substance. Where else can you find it aside from garlic? It is also in garlic, isn't it?
Yes, selenium is actually more to mineral compounds that obviously our body does need, but it will be needed in a small amount. Okay, it plays a role in to keep the immune system strong. Okay, other than your garlic, you can also get it from the grains, any nuts that you can find growing in the soil,
mm-hmm.
and also in fish, meat, and egg, even the shellfishes.
Yeah,
you can get it from all that.
Okay, olive oil.
Olive oil, yes, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, olive oil is also goes back to like I said previously, it's a polyunsaturated fatty acid, which is also good for your body, as it has all the, it reduces your cholesterol in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Ginseng tea is said to decrease the growth and the proliferation of colon cancer cells. Is there any truth to that?
Okay, there is no evidence that suggests that this ginseng tea really supports or reduces the chance of cancers. But when I read through it, that they say that it helps during the chemotherapy for the patient. So it's nothing wrong in trying. Like, you know, certain people, they can get adjusted with certain things, and certain people, it might turn them bad. You know, like they said, one man's meat, another man's poison.
Mm-hmm.
So if it suits you, you can try it.
Right.
Yep.
Dietary fiber is always, always linked to colon cancer.
Yes.
How does that play a part?
Okay. Talking about fiber, first of all, I think there's a lot of goodness in fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One thing is that the moment you're eating all the high fiber food, you feel full. Okay. You have a very long satiety. So you can control your food and you can be in a good weight. You know, you can manage your weight properly. The second thing is that it prevents yourself from getting constipation. Okay, when your bowel movement is good, so there will be no toxics or no harmful bacteria will be stayed in your colon.
Mm-hmm.
So your colon will be always clean. That's how it will be prevent yourself from getting colon cancer.
Yeah, okay, so it comes back to bowel movements once again.
Yes.
So all these are like preventive measures, Asha, but how about if you are undergoing treatment for cancer?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a certain diet that could assist your body, you know, to be healthy during that phase? And that's really, really important, actually.
Yes, obviously. If for all the patients, mostly when you're in the hospital settings, that the only thing that most of the doctors will advise is eat as much as you want and as what you want. This thing, because one thing during their treatment, what happened to the patient is obviously they will lose appetite and they will lose of weight, you know. So that moment, what I will advise you, don't be very choosy and don't go for particular foods.
Mm-hmm.
Eat what you feel like to eat during the treatment time. All your preventive measure can come after the treatment. You know, because during that time, the patient itself, you will have no appetite to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So, but to support your body condition and to support your treatment, you have to eat. So during the treatment, just eat what you feel like to eat.
Okay, but for long-term health, what are the foods that, you know, one can, you know, consume as part of the healing process? I mean, once you're okay with your taste buds and you can eat, what are some of the foods that will speed up the healing process?
Okay, one particular thing that during the treatment or to better the for the healing process is a protein sources food, like fish, chicken, egg, tahu, all those things, you know. Because what happened to certain patients that even I myself had seen, during the treatment, they totally stopped from taking chicken,
mm-hmm.
or they stopped themselves from eating protein sources food. Actually, this is a very wrong concept. They have to eat protein sources food because protein sources food is the only food that helps you to increase your immune system to help repair all your good cells, you know, because during your treatment, even your good cell dies.
Yep.
So this is the source of food that actually helps to increase your good cells, So obviously you need all your good cells to fight back.
Right. Any other mistakes that people tend to, or misconceptions that people have during treatment?
Okay, the most I've seen, that another thing that very famous, that they become vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
The moment they getting cancer, they become vegetarian. This is another wrong thing that they shouldn't follow. Okay, this is because when you're becoming a vegetarian, you will be not taking any protein sources food. You won't be getting your fishes, you know, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, these are very good for your health. So there is no need of you to become a vegetarian just because you're having cancer. Vegetables are important, but you can always consume it together with your meat sources.
Okay. Any other messages, or in conclusion, what would you like to leave me with in relation to diet and colorectal cancer?
Okay. The basic things I would say always is that try to maintain your weight according to your proper BMI or your body mass index. Mm-hmm. Secondly, will be to have a very healthy lifestyle, practice a very exercise every day regularly. And also your food intake, make sure you have vegetables and fruits every day. That is 2 to 3 times per day. And try to reduce the meat intake, red meat intakes.
Okay. Before I let you go, Kumar has sent us a text message and he wants to know, does salty food and pickles actually cause cancer? And what is the role of ginger in cancer prevention?
Okay, for salt and all these preservative foods, you know, they
yep.
use very high intake of salts. The thing with salt is that it is only recommended for a person per day is only to have a 6 grams of salt, which is equivalent to 1 teaspoon. But people tend to have a lot, and imagine that you're having it and you're cooking at home, you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, when you go eat outside, you know, it also comes all these food sources. This salt, actually not in a day, but in a longer days, it will be subside in your body and can lead to cancer actually.
Okay.
But in a very longer days.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. The pickles would contribute.
Yes.
In some way.
In some way.
But you need to consume it, quite a bit on a long-term basis.
It's always good to have it in a moderate amount.
Right. In moderation.
Yes.
What about ginger?
Ginger, it also links back to all the phytochemicals back again.
The garlic and the onion.
Yes. It doesn't stand alone. It
okay.
always goes back there.
Right. But no harm consuming it?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to console myself because I use a lot of ginger and garlic
okay.
and onions in my cooking.
Yeah, that's a good anyway. That's a good practice.
So no harm, yeah. So thank you very much for joining me today on the topic of diet and colorectal cancer. That was Priyandal Arshad, a dietitian from the National Cancer Society of Malaysia on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.